In these Sundays, we've been looking at discipleship, and that's us, we're disciples. But among the work of a disciple is to be an evangelizer, someone who also, even as they're learning, is teaching. And you notice that the Lord sends these apostles out two by two, and he gives them some basic instructions. And I want to title the message today, The Five Fundamental Freedoms for a Christian Evangelizer. Five Fundamental Freedoms for a Christian Evangelizer. Because you see, to be able to really preach and teach and hand on the faith requires of us certain freedoms. And the Lord wants to give them to us. And because many of us lack these freedoms, we don't always do as well as we could in handing on the gospel. So let's begin to look at this gospel and notice the freedoms that the Lord announces that he wants to give us and that we ought to begin to lay hold of so as to become better evangelizers. The first one is simply the freedom of being summoned, the freedom of summons. It says that Jesus summoned the 12 and he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. You know, I want to just maybe start with myself as a priest. It's very consoling to me, in a way, to be under authority, to have been sent to this parish, because I know where I am, where I'm supposed to be. The cardinal has appointed me. I'm under his authority, and he's under the authority of the Pope, and it's under his authority that I've been summoned and sent to this parish. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as long as I fulfill my mandate as a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, and one who celebrates the sacraments for you. And that's freeing and consoling. I don't have to get up every day and wonder, well, what will I do? How will I have a pretty clear mandate. I have a pretty clear schedule and a set of expectations that are given to me, and I'm able to, in the context of that, fulfill them. And there's a freedom in that. Now, for many of you who have maybe many different careers and approaches, but I'm going to guess most of you are parents or will be, grandparents, and even if you don't have children of your own, your elders, listen. You have a very clear mandate from the Lord. Go make disciples. Go teach. Go preach. Starting with your own family, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your nieces and nephews, with the younger people that you know, but reach out to them and begin to drive out the demons of ignorance, the demons of fear, the demons of lust. Drive these out by the word of God. This is all of us. All of us have this mandate. This is not just the mandate for somebody who stands in a pulpit like me. I'm not at your dining room table every night. Maybe you aren't even at your dining room table every night these days. But again, those are your pulpits. And understand that the Lord has summoned you to this. And lay hold of the authority that he's given you to preach and to teach. And there's something beautifully freeing and empowering about knowing that you have been summoned to this task. Say, well, I don't have enough education. I don't know enough. Again, get started. You know, I want to just tell you, I've learned more by teaching than I ever learned in a classroom, right? You get the basics in a classroom, but at the end of the day, when someone asks me a question and I've got to give an answer, I start learning pretty quick, right? Read your children Bible stories. Study the catechism yourself. Teach them to pray. Do the same for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, your nieces and nephews. Be someone who knows they are summoned to preach, and be consoled and empowered by the fact that you have been summoned. Now, let me just give you two quotes and I'll move on to the next point. First is from 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. And St. Paul says this, "Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. For indeed, God has given me this sacred trust." So Paul says, well, I know what I've been summoned to do, and woe if I don't do it, but how consoling it is to know that I've been given this sacred trust. And likewise, then he said to Timothy, in the presence of God and of the Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, I give you this charge, O Timothy. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So again, do the work of an evangelist. See? Lay hold of this sacred trust that the Lord has given you as well, all right? So the first thing we see, therefore, is, if you will, the freedom of summons. Now, the next thing we notice is there's a freedom of simplicity. As the Lord sent them out, he said, take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. And they were to, however, wear sandals, but not a second tunic. Now, I don't have time to go through all the significance of all of this. Let's talk at a higher level. Basically, what the Lord is calling them to is to travel light, to have a simplicity of life. Now, you see, we who live in the modern world, as maybe never before, have so much available to us. I mean, think of all the ways you can communicate today. You know, you got your telephone. Remember that old thing? You used to have to dial it. You got the telephone, you got the cell phone, you got the text messaging going on. Faxes are starting to go away. You got voicemail, huh? You got the internet, you got email. You know what happens. When you have everything, you got nothing, right? Nobody's really communicating. Oh, I sent you an email. Oh, I haven't checked my email in days. I'm too busy texting. You know? It's a mess. You see, the more we have, the less we really have, right? We get weighed down. And what we need to be aware of, I think, is that in our modern age, that our lives very easily become cluttered, they become complex and compromised. And that robs us of the freedom to preach the gospel. Now consider, first of all, that our lives are cluttered. We've got all this baggage and we're worried about all kinds of stuff. And so we've got too much stuff. Our lives are cluttered. And all that stuff needs attention, maintenance, and money, and it takes up space, it ties us down. We also have the baggage and the clutter, too, of too many commitments. We're overscheduled, overbooked. We have many wrongful priorities. We spend too much time worrying about things that don't really matter at all in the end, right? I mean, come on, this world is a sinking ship. I don't care if you've got a first-class cabin or you're in steerage. The thing's going down, amen? And we're all worked up about secondary things, you see. And then what does matter, gets put on hold. Reading Bible stories to your kids. No time for that. I got to get to soccer practice, right? See? And so again, and some folks don't even come to church on Sunday because of the stupid soccer match that their kid has to go to, you see? And yeah, even the Catholic Church, that CYO, they're doing Sunday games, you see? Real problems here, right? Wrongful priorities. Yet our lives were cluttered. There were too much excess baggage. There's an old song that just says, too much stuff, huh? Too much stuff. I think an old Delbert McClinton song, right? Too much stuff, right? And so our lives are cluttered, excess baggage, too many distractions, and it gets us off track. See? So the first thing is that the Lord is saying, would you please travel light. Get rid of some of this stuff, you see. Set your priorities. Now, if you're going to be on a journey, you're not going to take your whole house with you. You're going to take a few bags. Notice a few bags. Got to fit in the overhead, right? All right. So you see, lighten up. Declutter a little, see. And then because of our clutter, our lives become very quickly complex. Choke with excess baggage. We don't even know where how to begin to simplify. You know, what do I let go of, you see? So many of the things that we think are absolutely essential and we can't live without, most of us are old enough to remember a time when we lived without them just fine. Couldn't live without your cell phone. Well, you didn't even have one until about 15 years ago. Air conditioning. Oh, gotta have it. Listen, when I was a kid, we had one little window unit in the den, and the rest of the house was just sweltering, right? You know, we somehow got by. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying to you that we tend to think that we have got to have everything. No, you don't. But you see, our lives become complex with all this clutter. And so again, ask the Lord to anoint you to know what to let go of and what you can begin to do to simplify, right? And it doesn't mean that everything you're going to get rid of is bad. There are going to be some good things, you know. Maybe Maybe playing soccer is a good thing for your kid, but you know, when you compare that to all the other stuff he's got to do, you know, learn to play the instrument and do all the other things, you know, we sometimes overbook our kids too. So ask the Lord to give you a vision of how to declutter your life. See? And that's what the Lord's getting at here. And see, here comes the main issue then that robs us of our freedom. With all this clutter and complexity, our lives become very, very compromised. See, all this extra baggage weighs us down, but it also entangles us in the world. And we begin to think that our life is really about all these things. And so we start to make compromises. We let prayer go, and we get anxious about preaching or standing up for the faith or saying things that are unpopular. Why? Well, you know, because it might get us into a little bit of trouble, and we might not be as popular, and we might not have as much power, and we might not have as much money. And you see, our lives become very quickly complicated and compromised when we start to become too attached to this world. And we lose our freedom. We don't preach because we have too much to lose. And the Lord wants to give us a greater freedom than that. So he says, travel light. Travel light. No food, no sack, no money in their belts, you see. Now that might sound awfully radical. I'm not here to say absolutely that radical, but you get the idea. Look to simplify your life. Travel light, says the Lord. So we've seen the freedom of summons, and there's the freedom of simplicity. Next comes the freedom of stability. He says, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Now look, what he's really saying is, find out where home is and stay there. You know, again, too many of us are running all over God's green acre. We're all over the place. We're not home very much anymore because we're out here driving, going here and going there. Now again, especially if you're a parent, you got to find out where home is and get there and stay there more frequently and have your children do the same and really emphasize learning how to put down deep roots and have deeper, if you will, relationships, because this is where the handing on of the gospel really becomes much, much richer and deeper, see? And so one of the dangers is that with all this mobility today, even with our own immediate family, we barely know each other. It's more of a dormitory than a true home. We get there, we sleep, we run out early in the morning, we're busy, we're going here, going there, we almost never sit down to meals together. You see, this is not a good situation for the preaching of the gospel and the handing on of the faith. Many families don't even go to church together anymore. It used to be that they'd all sit together in one pew, you know? Remember those days? That's rare today. We're all over the place. And the same with priests. You know, we're running here, running there. And our own parishes are kind of lost. And so again, to find out where home is and stay there. Make that your priority, right? You say, well, Father, I don't like my home. I wish I were in someone else's home. And well, all right, but guess what? They got some nuts falling out of their family tree too. You know, we're always looking, hey, that other place looks better, you know? You don't know that story, all right? You're just looking from afar. It looks real pretty from afar. And then you walk in the place and say, well, there's a little dust on the furniture after all. So again, find out where home is. It's not going to be a perfect place. You might wish it were better or different. That's where home is. Stay there. Work there. That's your vineyard. Work it and tend it. There's a line in the book of the Song of Songs, and Pope Gregory rebuked priests of his day. He says, you priests remind me from the Song of Songs, he says, they made me the keeper of vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. You see. And so again, we can too easily take promotions and want to sit over big chunks of things in our own life, in our own family, in our own parishes are languishing. So be careful. He said to them, wherever you go, enter a house and stay there until it's time to leave. All right. So again, emphasizing here, you see, now again, that doesn't mean you can never go anywhere and ever do anything, but you get the point, right? Make your priority where home is. So we've seen again now, the freedom of summons and the freedoms of simplicity and stability. Now we see the freedom of surety. Listen to this. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. Brothers and sisters, this is perhaps the most key freedom of all, especially today, where in many ways the gospel has gone out of favor and gone out of season. And that is to say that we are to announce and preach the gospel, and if people reject us and laugh at us and scorn us, don't let it get to you. Shake the dust and move on. It's not about you. Jesus is in effect saying, it's not you they hate. It's the truth that you're proclaiming. It's me that they hate. Don't take it personally. You are not that important. It is not about you. Preach and have a detachment. Don't let your ego get too easily wounded and bruised by rejection. Look who we're serving. He's nailed to a cross up there. Do you think we're going to get much less? Come on, y'all. And again, you see, so there is this vision that we've got to get used to the fact that really the normal state of a Christian is to be under a substantial amount of persecution, laughter, and ridicule. We don't fit into this world. We've been summoned out of this world. We're going to say things that seem outrageous, shocking, even hateful to the world. You know, when you're used to the darkness and someone puts on lights, you're called hateful. But again, keep preaching. Don't give up. Listen, this whole process has been going on for like 5,000 years. You go back to the Jewish roots and for 2,000 years in the church, let me just tell you, empires have come and gone, nations have risen and fallen. Ideas and philosophies have come and gone, and we just keep on, like the Energizer Bunny, we just keep preaching, preaching, preaching. All the latest trendy ideas don't measure at all compared to 5,000 years of biblical wisdom. Now, you stay with that, and you preach it, and you're going to be laughed at and scorned, but they're going away, and the Word of God is remaining forever, you see? So remember, it is not about you. It is not about, you know, your ego or any of these things. It is about preaching consistently, courageously, and with a kind of a freedom where your ego is not easily bruised or wounded. It can get wearying at times. I get that. But keep preaching. Don't take rejection personally. So, the freedom of surety. Now, I've come to the last one, but again, just to review, we've had the freedom of summons, that we've been called to this. Thank you, Lord. I know what I'm supposed to do. The freedom of simplicity. Okay, I got to travel a little lighter and not be too rooted in this world that's passing away. The freedom of stability. I got to find out where home is and really work there especially, right? The freedom of surety, that I know the truth you've given to me, and I'm going to preach it whether it's popular or not. And then finally, the freedom of substance. Again, he simply says to them, they went off and they preached repentance, and they drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil those who were sick, and they cured them. So the basic, then, knowing the basic substance of what we're going to be about, what is it? In a quick phrase that you remember, it simply says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Even shorter version, repent and believe the good news. So we are to bring healing. We are to bring, though, also this summons to repentance. Now look, when you go to the doctor usually is saying the same thing, isn't he or she? My doctor, I go to her, she says, repent and believe the good news. Change your ways, lose a little weight. Watch your salt intake, whatever, you know. And know the good news, that we've got some good medicines and we can help you through whatever you're getting through. But again, you see the vision. Healing and repentance go hand in hand. Because I'm going to just tell you that what ails us, 90% of it is our sin. You know, 90% of it is our sin. And so this great call to repent means the Lord is saying, go out and tell them, look, your mind is set on wrongful things. You see, you're carried away by your lust and by your gluttony and by your greed. You're carried away by your anger and your revengefulness. Now stop all that. Come to a new way of thinking. Turn to me and I'm going to start to heal you. And I'm going to take away all those negative drives and give you true healing. That's the message to go out and proclaim. We're not just saying, don't do this and don't do that. But we're saying, thank you, Lord. You've healed me and you're working in my life, and let me go now and tell others there is another way. There's a way that Jesus offers that will save us from all those deep drives of sin that destroy us. And so, my brothers and sisters, the substance of what we have to preach is also freeing. It's not that complicated. It's a combination of good news and the call to repentance. And they go together. Because really, if you don't know the bad news, the good news is no news. So we got to talk to people about what ails them. See? Half your problem is you're sinning. You know? You're allowing these drives of negativity and sin to just go run wild in your life. Now, look, lay hold of a different message. The Lord Jesus can come and set you free from some of those things and begin to break those patterns. Now, you come and listen to his word, receive the sacraments, and he'll go to work in your life. And I am a witness. Are you a witness? I'm just going to say, after 35 years of being serious about my faith, of my 54 years, I'm just going to say it works. It works. I've had to change a lot of my ways, but you know, really, I didn't even do it. He did it. Sacraments, the word of God, prayer, and holy fellowship. I'm just going to tell you, it works if you work it, so work it because you're worth it. I'm just going to say, come and try. See? So there's a combination, isn't there, of repentance, but also the good news that it really does work. If you will set out with the Lord, he will go to work, put to death the deep drives of sin, and bring alive so many graces. Brothers and sisters, there's a great freedom that the Lord is asking us to lay hold of today, right? He's saying, be careful, be careful. First of all, know the freedom that you've been summoned to do something. It's great freedom and authority that comes from that. Have the freedom of simplicity. Begin to realize that your life is too easily caught up in things that don't matter. And focus on the things that do. There needs to be a freedom of stability in your life. Find out where home is, stay there, and work there. Freedom of surety, knowing that indeed the Lord has given you a message, and the world hates you for it, it's not about you, it's about him. You just go ahead and suffer and die with him, and rejoice that you've been able to suffer for the sake of his name and his truth. And just know the freedom of substance. You have the basic message. Repent and believe the good news. Lay hold of the glory that the Lord is offering you. So today, five fundamental freedoms for a Christian evangelizer. Amen. Amen.